You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
Now let's welcome our doctor, Dr. Vasant Basdeo, to the Lunchtime Doctor for today, Wednesday. Good afternoon to you, Doctor.
Good afternoon, Tuska.
Good afternoon.
Always a pleasure to be here.
So what's your topic for today?
Well, Tuska, today is surely going to be a very interesting topic. Today we're talking about yoga and meditation as a tool to help fight disease, especially in this Western lifestyle that we have. And here on the Lunchtime Doctor, I want you to strap in for the next 40, 45 minutes or so, because we're really going to have a very engaging, mind-opening conversation today. And it's my pleasure and it's my privilege to have a very special guest with me today. And before I get to that and introducing this special guest, here on the Lunchtime Doctor for the past few months, especially on this Wednesday lunchtime, we've been focused on prevention. We've been focused on health. And I reflect on the definition of health by the World Health Organization. Countries from around the world, 196 persons, health experts, came together in the 70s. And they defined health as not just the absence of a disease or the absence of a diagnosis, but a state of complete well-being. And this not just mental health, it's emotional health, social health, mental health. And would you believe Trinidad and Tobago, they included the term spiritual health back then, and it was only removed thereafter a few decades. Now, on the program today, we are looking at what are some of the challenges we face in the Western world. More and more, as specialist family doctors, we are seeing a huge number of persons coming into our clinics presenting with not just physical symptoms, but mental symptoms. The number one presenting complaint and reason for their symptoms is stress. We're seeing high levels of anxiety, high levels of depression, and all attributing to this mind. So when we speak about mental health, our professional colleagues as psychiatrists or psychologists or counselors, we're all overwhelmed with the increasing statistics and incidence of mental health disease, particularly anxiety and depression. Very recently, one of our ministers in the Ministry of Health attended a world conference in India on traditional medicine and the value that traditional medicine has in helping combat these modern-day lifestyle diseases. And today, I have with me, in my company, an expert, a world-renowned expert in yoga and meditation. Dr. Dabral, having been born in Dehradun, India, a PhD in the University of Dr. Dabral to the West more than three decades ago and has now been teaching and guiding hundreds, if not thousands, of persons in the practice of yoga and meditation as a lifestyle, as a path to that total well-being. So today, it's a very interesting conversation that we're about to have, and I'd like to welcome to the program our very dear Dr. Dabral. Dr. Dabral, welcome to Trinidad.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's being a pleasure to return in my favorite place known as Trinidad, and I'm very happy.
Yes, we're loving that you're here to share your experience, your world travels as well too, and learning from your wisdom. And let's get the conversation starting by, what is the mind? How do you define the mind? Or what would you say to the Trini listening on here? What is this thing called the mind?
From a yoga philosophy, or the mind is an energy field within yourself, that which actually allows all faculties to run, body, breath, and then mind itself. Mind that is known as internal instrument that cannot be seen, and it runs throughout the body from head to toes and toes to head. So mind is a phenomena within yourself that makes you aware of you. That entity is known as mind, I-ness, I-am-ness. The moment you identify anything, that is the mental faculty from within, tells you that identification. And mind doesn't stop there. Mind is a vast entity within yourself, which is considered in yoga as an ocean. Like ocean, there's no ending of the ocean and the depth. Similarly, mind is an ocean.
Yeah, quite interesting. And I love the analogy of the mind as an ocean. Now, you know, in the West, we see things very physically. Even the practice of yoga, we see as a physical practice. And even meditation, we see meditation as a relaxation tool. But from your experience and having defined the mind, how do you see yoga and meditation working with the mind?
Yeah, Vasant, what you said is correct. Yoga actually became very popular in the West. At the physical level, even the physical yoga and also meditation. And it actually became more of machine.
Yes.
Where you actually don't think of the tool mind within yourself. So if you go back to the original teachings of yoga, and you will come to know that yoga does not talk about the body in the beginning. Yoga talks about the mind. If you see the definition of yoga, and when I say the word yoga, I'm not limiting, you know, with the definition of, you know, postures and bending this way or that way. That is what most people think. That is what the physical aspect of yoga. Yoga means the totality of all aspects of yourself, which you have. You have the body, you have the breath, and then you have the mind. And there is something else also known as beyond mind. So if you see the definition of yoga, yoga means the complete control over the operations of the mind is yoga. So yoga begins with the word mind.
Wonderful. And that's quite interesting, because so many of our challenges that patients complain about starts in the mind. And yoga and meditation as a tool is that which helps to work on stilling and settling this mind. You know, many times you referred to the mind in your teaching as a friend or an enemy. And is it possible, specifically yoga, can help a person transition from being a victim of their thoughts to a master of their internal environment? And if so, how would you recommend a person go to becoming a master of their internal environment?
Absolutely. That is why actually yoga starts with the mind, because mind is a problem, quote unquote. Everything happens in the mind. And not knowing about the mind, that's where we end up with all kinds of problems. And then you look for the solution outside of you. And then you go with the, all kind of prevention, medicine, and yet you are not seeing yourself cured, because you have not tapped into the original source of the problems that one is facing. All problems, as even the medical science says, all problems are
psychosomatic.
Psychosomatic means everything happens in the mind before even it happens in the physical body. All diseases had happened in the mind field. The energy field that flows within yourself from head to toes and toes to head registers everything. And when you register, then there is a reaction of that that object in your mind. And that reaction, the response, creates the problem. That is why yoga begins with the word mind, to know what mind is. And in order to know the mind, then there are there's a system in yoga, how to go about knowing that mind. And once you know all your, starting with your physical body, keeping your physical body healthy, relaxed with the physical yoga stretches, asanas, and then you come to know that, well, I do physical, but then I have my breathing. What about the breathing? We are breathing being. You are not only a physical being. Then you work with the breath, and then you bring the same thing with the breath, like relaxation of the breath, serene breath, proper breath, organized breath. And then at the same time, you see that you think all the time. Where is this thinking coming from? That is where mind, all your thoughts, all your thinking, you are storing constantly, 24 hours. Interestingly, even in sleep, you are storing things in your mind. And you don't process properly because you don't know what to do with that faculty called mind. So once you begin with the working with your body, then you go with the breath. And the yoga science says the link between the mind and the body is the breath. So through the pathway of your breath, you reach to the mind.
Very interesting, because what you've described there to me is that so many times Christians speak about workouts, but certainly yoga, from your description, sounds like a work in from the physical, the body, the breath, to the mind, and then beyond. Now, one thing that we as Western physicians have, and this is to our listeners especially, there are diagnoses, particularly in mental health, such as anxiety disorders, such as mental or mood disorders, things like depression, bipolar disorders. And these disorders are actually what we call psychological disorders, because what we in order to make that diagnosis, we are doing a physical check of the body and we run certain tests. And to make that diagnosis, we have to exclude that there's a physical cause of the disease. So even in making the diagnosis of these mental health challenges, we have to rule out the physical disease. Now, as we move on, particularly for the person in Trinidad who is stuck in traffic, so many work environments are so stressful and filled with all sorts of thoughts that make you feel so tired, and it's just constant. In Western medicine, we talk a lot about the vagus nerve. And this vagus nerve, we recommend activities, exercises, therapies that promote stimulating this vagus nerve, because it's like a brake on the nervous system that is in that fight or flight mood. From a yoga perspective, how does yoga, such as the physical techniques, the breathing techniques, signal the body to shift from this crisis mode to one of more a ease mode, a healing mode? What's your take on this?
That is the goal of yoga, to have a optimum health. And as you said in the beginning, when we speak of the health, we're not only talking about the physical health, but we are also talking about the mental health. And there is a psychological health, and what you said just got removed from the curriculum, known as a spiritual health. A spiritual health is where you actually come to know who you truly are, where you know that I am not the body, I am not the breath, I am not the mind, then who am I? You are the spiritual self. So that is the advanced level of yoga. However, you have to start from grade one and grade two. So as the goal of yoga is to have a complete optimum health in a way that there is a balance, cohesiveness, relationship between all faculties of your being, all the faculties at the physical level, all the faculties of the breathing level, all the faculties of the mental level. So once you know that there are many faculties, yoga begins with teaching that, okay, be aware of your physical body and train your physical body that you are healthy, you are flexible, there is no any issue in your physical body. And along with that, working with your physical body, you also have to bring your breathing. Most diseases, I think, the anxiety, the stress and all that is due because of not knowing how to breathe. So yoga emphasizes great deal. When you are working with your physical body, you need to also incorporate how you are breathing, where you now taking your body, such as going for a walk or sitting behind the wheel, sitting behind the desk, or doing things in your household, maybe working in the kitchen, working in the yard. Yes, physical body is working, but what is happening with the breath? So yoga teaches deep diaphragmatic breathing, proper way of breathing, remove the irregular breath, no jerk, no pause, and so on. And then the new hemisphere opens from there. Then your body, you begin to feel, hey, I am not as tired as I used to be. You are more relaxed just because you did something with the breath. And when you do something with the breath, then automatically the faculty that's known as mind, which we do not know where it is, automatically you will begin to feel and experience that you are much relaxed. You are not acting on any emotion, whether it's a stressful emotion or any anxiety or anything that is unpleasant or anything that did not meet your expectation. All of that situations are still present, yet your response and your reaction is now more calming, more cooling, and you are in control only because you have worked with your breath. And by working with your breath, your body and your mind now come together. Because the word, very word, yoga means combining, bringing everything together. And what that everything is together means your physical body, your breathing body, and your mental body are together at all the time. Then you are practicing yoga.
Wonderful. You know, it's really a stimulating conversation because listening to you speak about the deep diaphragmatic breath, and the diaphragm, from the listeners out there, is innervated or controlled by a nerve called the phrenic nerve. And this phrenic nerve is a branch of the vagus nerve. And it's interesting that yoga for many, many, many years now have been promoting this deep diaphragmatic breath that actively stimulates this vagus nerve and brings about stimulations to the brain through its neurochemistry, its neurowiring, to bring about a state of ease, to send the signals to the brain that there's no danger, there's no fear. And very interestingly, in some previous editions of The Lunchtime Doctor, we spoke about lifestyle diseases and how these diseases are driven by this stress and this, particularly the stress hormone called cortisol. Now, to our listeners out there, there's a researcher, Dr. Nagaratna, and she was given an award by the American Diabetes Association, where in some of her research, she conducted yoga as a lifestyle therapy for over 10,000 persons. And persons who were pre-diabetic actually reduced their pre-diabetes to normal HbA1c levels. And persons who already had HbA1c levels, when they added yoga as a therapy, as a lifestyle, it significantly also reduced their HbA1c levels. Now, Dr. Dabral, this cortisol, the stress hormone, many persons, we here in Trinidad, we live very high stress lifestyles. We are a very passionate people. We put our heart into everything that we do. But so much so that it is causing us, that many of us cannot seem to sit still. You know, and it's very difficult to even mention the word meditation, mindfulness to persons like this, because you're telling me that this mind that is racing constantly, always switched on, always turned on. What would you say to someone who is like looking to dip their toes into this ocean of meditation, mindfulness? Where can someone begin a practice of meditation or mindfulness?
I think to me, I would advise everyone, anywhere, everywhere, to the modern being, to learn deep diaphragmatic breathing, slow down your breath, and work with your breath. If you only work with your breath, you already are somewhat learning meditation. If you only work with your breath, you are also receiving some relaxation of the body. You will yourself know on or experience that you are now much better feeling, much relaxed. Your sleep quality is improving. And without breath, the vagus nerve that you were talking about, only by working with your breath, you can have the access. In order to have access not only to the vagus nerve, but the entire autonomic nervous system, sympathetic, parasympathetic, my master Swami Rama of the Himalaya says, you can have complete control over the autonomic nervous system just by working with your breath. So I see people are not breathing properly. People have jerky breath. Most people don't even know what diaphragm is, and they are breathing from their chest. They have a shallow breath. They have a short breath. They hold their breath. And it is because they are under stress. It is because they have a deadlines, and they have, you know, like you said, we are so passionate about working, which is perfectly fine. We should. And you will actually be more efficient, and you will get more ability and capacity out of you if you work with your breath. So relaxation only happens by watching your breath. I tell people, if you are under stress, just stop for maybe exactly 1 minute, close your eyes, and bring your awareness to your nostrils and watch the breath. Inhale, you are breathing in and you are breathing out. You are breathing in and breathing out. So that is your very first step of entering into this supreme health, where your body is relaxed, your mind is relaxed, your breath is relaxed, and all the diseases will all automatically will begin to reduce, like diabetic. Why they reduce? Because there's a harmony. There is a friendship between you and your body, between you and your breath, between you and your mind. And that you that we are talking about is the spiritual you that communicates. So you go through, you run into the problem because the communication has been lost. So breath is the only and the only tool that can bring that communication, that can solve any problem that you have. And it's guaranteed. I quote scriptures.
Yeah, it's very interesting that you describe the breath and a lot of focus on the breath today, because you're describing something that the breath acts like a bridge between the body and the mind. And it's interesting too that you say that so many persons who are stressed, they breathe very rapid and very shallow and very jerky and noisy. And it's interesting because many persons who are very emotional, you know, we see a lot of our younger populations, our teenagers, they act out very impulsively. And when we look at them, their breath is very rapid and shallow. And they always make the reference to many of my patients even. We never really, have you ever seen an angry guy breathing very slow and deep? And if he is, or she is, then that's the guy who's observing his emotions and more in control, rather than letting the emotions, take control of the body in that sense as well. So what would you recommend as a simple practice? Let's say someone is a very busy person. They have long hours of work or studying, these things like that. A simple practice of yoga, breathing, or meditation that someone can begin with that will start to bring about that harmony that you're speaking about within that all entities of this human experience, the body, the breath, the mind, and beyond. What is a simple practice you would recommend to that individual?
I think everybody, no matter how busy you are, if one wants to, if one has a desire to be healthy and not run into all these quote-unquote problems, modern-day problems, are just because everything is not balanced, you know, stress hormones, anxiety, angry, all emotions. Swamiji, my master, used to say emotions are commotion. So you are actually creating commotions for yourself, and yet you are looking for an answer. So the answer to your question, everyone should practice correct way of breathing. So people, those who are busy, they don't have time to go to yoga class or don't have time for this. What they could do is every hour or every 2 hours, just for 2 minutes, if they can close their eyes and begin to watch their breathing, breathing through nostrils, not from mouth. Yoga says breathe only from nostrils, not from mouth. And keep your mouth closed and watch inhaling, breathing in, watch breathing out, watch breathing in, watch nothing else. Just watch breathing in, watch breathing out. Slowly you will see the results. That is the only practice one should do every 2 hours for 5 minutes. Just take a break, just like the breaks you take. You should take breathing breaks. These breaks will be much more beneficial. They will give you amazing results in return. So take a deep breathing break, as many as you can, more frequently, as frequent as possible within your limit, capacity, ability, time permits, breathing breaks. And what do you do? Exactly for 2 minutes, eyes closed, watching yourself breathing in, watching yourself breathing out for next 3, 4, 5 months, and then dive a little more deeper into it. And that is breathe a little bit deeper, breathe a little bit, longer, and then have no jerk, because jerks also is a unhealthy for the breath. So then your breath is really no jerky, it's a smooth breath, and it's a deep breath. So it's doable. I think there's no excuse that you cannot do, no matter how busy you are, you can take 2 minutes. We do take break, tea break, this break, that break. So turn all your breaks for breathing breaks, and you will have amazing results. I guarantee you.
That's amazing. Yeah. You know, so in my work as well, so many persons, they crave that break. They look forward to that break time, counting down till lunchtime to have a break. And simply this breathing technique, this breath awareness, calms the nervous system, relaxes the physical tension in the body. It soothes the autonomic nervous system. And this is seriously a recommendation now that is not just being made in the Eastern parts of the world, but in Western medicine. Yes. We are strongly recommending in our therapies things like mindfulness, relaxation, breathing techniques, deep breathing techniques. In fact, one of the treatments for diseases like anxiety, stress, depression is something called psychotherapy. And in psychotherapy, it is working with the psyche. Mm-hmm. And there's evidence now that is so profound that even the UK guidelines are saying they recommend yoga, meditation, mindfulness as a treatment aid. Now, it's not a replacement treatment. Of course, we always recommend medical advice, but as a treatment aid and as an adjunct to treating these diseases that are what we call psychosomatic or in the psyche of the human existence. Now, we're live, and for those who are joining us in, we have Dr. Dabral, an expert in yoga and meditation, world-renowned expert, that is, traveling the world, teaching yoga and meditation for many decades now. And we are talking today on the Lunchtime Doctor about yoga and meditation as a lifestyle, as a tool for helping us here in Trinidad and Tobago, fighting disease, combating all these modern day diseases, lifestyle diseases. And so far, one of the most profound things that we've had in the discussion so far is on the breath, this deep diaphragmatic breath that really seems to have profound benefits, whichever part of the world you are, wherever you could, country you belong to. The one thing that unites us here is the breath. Now, it's very interesting, Dr. Dabral, that we are seeing this shift towards these Eastern traditions, Tai Chi, Qigong, all these sort of practices that have been long sort of put as traditional medicine or complementary medicine. Some persons in the past even called it alternative medicine. But in your experience, diet, how important is diet, the physical diet, the mental diet, in achieving this state of yoga, this state of harmony? And what's your recommendations or your thoughts on diet?
You know, as we were talking about breath, so once one starts working with the breath, and I was actually going to say, even if you don't want to do yoga, meditation, don't want to call it, just work with your breath. Your breath is you, and it's nothing to do with any, you know, religion, organization. It's you, yourself. So you and your breath. So talk to the breath. So when you start working with the breath, then you go deeper into, then you yourself will start exploring the little deeper aspect of yoga. And deeper aspect of yoga that comes, falls into, make your lifestyle as a yoga lifestyle. And the first step towards yoga lifestyle is what you eat, because diet plays a huge role. Every food that you eat have a certain energy field, and that energy field of the food directly affects the mind, that is a problem right now. So in order to reach to the mind with also a diet, one also has to consider and work with your own diet. So diet has many, many fold meanings. Diet is necessary, important in yoga. You cannot just ignore diet, like you cannot ignore breath, only working, you know, like workout. You cannot only work with the breath, you ignore the mind. You can't, it's a totality of yourself. You have to bring all the pieces of the puzzle together to really see the whole picture. So diet plays a huge role. So eat a diet that suits you, that is healthy for not only for the physical body, but also for the healthy, for the breath and for the mind. Interestingly, the Ayurveda is now being popular. And that is why when you work with your diet, then you start bringing the concept of Ayurveda, which actually works as a sister science along with the yoga. Ayurveda means knowing all about yourself. Ayu, the life. Veda means to know all about your life. My life. My life is my body, my breath, and my mind. What is there that is good for me? Then I will accept. That is the lifestyle. What is not good for me, I will exclude, and that is the lifestyle. You can work towards yourself being or becoming absolute healthy.
Yeah. You know, modern medicine is now linking chronic inflammation to almost every disease. And this inflammation that so many of us are facing, you know, the word in Western medicine, we come off Latin in Western medicine. So the word itis translates to inflammation. Mm-hmm. So if anyone listening, you think about diseases that you know, you would hear things like arthritis, and you have all the different types of arthritis. You have sinusitis, rhinosinusitis, appendicitis, and the word keeps going on and on and on. So a big part of disease and illness for the human experience is this inflammation, Dr. Dabral. And this chronic inflammation seems to be in a lot with persons who have no physical, disorder in their organs or anything like that. Yet still, their inflammatory markers are very high. Their cholesterol markers are very high. They're eating the best diet. They're exercising every day. They're doing everything that the book says. How does yoga and meditation address this chronic inflammation, this itis that so many persons are suffering from in this modern world?
Inflammation, yeah, it's a big word these days. Inflammation, of course, relates to the diet, of course. Inflammation relates to not the miscommunication, I think, between the body, breath, and the mind. That is the inflammation. Like all autoimmune diseases and all. So Dr. Prasanth, what you are saying, I'm eating all what book says and I'm exercising. But are you actually eating a correct diet? Are you exercising correctly? So that, quote unquote, the word correct, one has to actually understand. And once you understand that part, what diet is good for you, what exercise is good for you, then inflammation goes away. Inflammation is a body's response to something that you did, that body says, no, don't do it. And you still did it because you like it. You still did it because you always used to do it out of habit. So body is signaling to you, don't do it again or change. That is what inflammation in yoga.
Very interesting, because here, especially in Trinidad, we have a culture that if someone tells us something works for them, we take that as the gospel. We say that is the absolute truth and we run with it. So for instance, you hear someone say, you know, turmeric is working really good for me, ashwagandha, and all these things persons say, or they started running and it works for them. In the practice on yoga and meditation, what are some of the things that you would look at in terms of prescribing yoga and meditation to an individual? What are some of the attributes of that individual? And like, how would you recommend a yoga practice or meditation to these differing types of personalities, individuals? Or what would you say to even the yoga teachers or even the wellness practitioners out there, how to recommend and create this sort of individualized approach to this West Eastern tradition?
Yeah, you have to actually work with your own individual self, not to copy. If something works for me, it may not work for you. If something works for you, it may not work for me, because I am me and you are you. So individuality, you have your own type, body type, breath type, mind type. That's where your individual self comes into. However, the starting practices of yoga and meditation can be done by everyone, just like you take your kids to the kindergarten. Everybody's taught the basic things. So you start with the basics first. And from the basics, then automatically something will emerge that you will begin to feel that what is good for you, what is not good for you, whoever you are learning from. And then you explore. It's a matter of exploration. In this talk show, you know, I can't explain everything. But what I would say is basic thing like doing a little bit of physical exercise, yoga asana, we call it yoga stretches. Why yoga asana, I'm saying? Because yoga combines breath and the body movement. So whenever you are moving your body, even if you're going for walk, don't go for walk just because it's a walk. No, go walk with you. And how would you walk with you? Watching your breath as you take every step forward. So you have to bring your breath, and that is where the mindfulness starts from. So learning some stretches, yoga asanas, correct way of breathing, and then incorporating breath with all the movement, and then something known as mind. You are aware of your body and breath through that entity known as mind. That is the basic practice everybody should practice. And then you go into deeper aspect of what suits me, especially diet and some specific asanas or specific practices of yoga.
That's very, very interesting, because from what I'm gathering is that yoga is, even physical, any physical exercise, when we prescribe physical movement to improve the circulation in the body, improve the physical tension, release this tension in the body, many persons see this as only for that part of the day. So if you are doing a 40-minute walk, a 30-minute walk. But what you're alluding to is that yoga is something that can be done throughout the day. That sort of action. Yoga is throughout the day, not just on a mat.
Yeah, or yoga, that is what is called yoga way of life, because you exist all times, 24 hours. So that 24 hours balance has to be there, even while you are sleeping. My master used to say, people even don't know how to sleep, because we think sleeping means, okay, I'm sleepy, go to bed, and you just crash on your bed. That's not what it is. That's why people are having hard time to, you know, to fall asleep, and people have a lot of sleeping problems because we are actually not, we don't know how to sleep. Sleeping is an art. Everything is an art in yoga. I will quote a scripture that says, skillfulness in all action is yoga. Skillfulness means you are taking every step with an awareness, mindfulness, and moving forward. So not only 45 minutes workout and then you leave, you maintain that that awareness. That is what yoga, being together with yourself at all times. And once you practice, then it becomes your habit. And once the habit is there, then it happens by itself, just like breathing. Even if you are breathing incorrectly, but it's happening by out of your, you know, by nature or habit. So form a right habit that are healthy for you. Actually, I also would say the word for health is, you know, in yoga is swastha. Swastha means the one who dwells in himself or herself. And that is where is the seed of meditation and mindfulness begins from.
Again, this is a very riveting conversation. And for those who are just joining us, we're talking today with Dr. Dabral, a world-renowned expert in yoga and meditation. And for those who may want to send some messages or calls, feel free to do so and join in this very mind-opening conversation on the Lunchtime Doctor today. Now, Dr. Dabral, you spoke about sleep. What would be your recommendations for someone who is struggling, or even if someone isn't struggling, but really working on improving their sleep and their sleep quality? How does yoga and meditation recommend or make certain practices or something that will help improve the sleep quality of us busy, stressed out trainees here in Trinidad and Tobago?
Yoga teaches us how to relax. So once you are relaxed physically and mentally, you will fall asleep. We are not relaxed. The autonomic nervous system is always in gear. And that's why people are having a hard time to fall asleep. And especially as the time grows, the technology is becoming very useful in a way, but also bad in another way, because we are getting addicted to it. So modern technology, phones, computer, internet is not allowing us to relax ourselves. So people go directly to sleep right after they have finished their, you know, emailing and working with their phones and so on. And then so not knowing that the internal system, autonomic nervous system, is still under stress, inflamed. So you will not fall asleep no matter what you do. Therefore, the techniques of yoga is relaxations of the body, relaxation of the breath, relaxation of the mind, and they are well-defined techniques in yoga. And then one applies those techniques when you are in bed. So you lie down in bed, and what do? You do relaxation. And the moment you begin doing the relaxation, not only the body, not only the breath, but the nervous system calms down. And the moment your nervous system calms down, you will absolutely fall asleep, and then you will develop slowly a deep sleep, sound sleep. So learn relaxation, and then that relaxation that you have learned, that you do, then you maintain further that you are relaxed all the time. And it is what yoga is all about. It's 24 hours.
So is it possible for someone to be relaxed 24 hours at all times?
Yeah, it is possible. It's the mental faculty that you maintain relaxation, even if you have a hectic schedule, even if you have a deadlines to meet, even if you have a really busy lifestyle. It is the state of mind that actually plays the role. The more you reaction of the lifestyle you have, that makes it as like you are creating poison. If a mind is relaxed, and yet even though you are so busy and even more busy, you will not allow that poison to be made, because state of mind is relaxed. State of mind is relaxed means the response. Let's say you just mentioned you are driving and it's a heavy traffic, red lights, and you are honking and you are, you know, padding on a steering wheel. But what a yoga person will do? Just breathe in, breathe out. So you maintain a certain serenity of the breath and the mind. So that's how you learn. You can maintain a relaxation, if not 24 hours, at least 12 hours. And as I have seen and as I have read, I think you can do 24 hours. It is possible. It may take time, but it's possible.
Wonderful. You know, and it's very interesting you spoke about the driving, because here in Trinidad, we have some very short fuses, not just in our vehicles, but when it comes to the road, we have a lot of road rage, and you'd often hear persons reacting, not just with the horns and the beeps and stuff like that, but even verbally and sometimes physically. And maintaining this peace of mind, this state of calm relaxation, is so pivotal and crucial, not just here in Trinidad, because I'm sure we have listeners from across the Caribbean and the world, this relaxed state. And from a Western physician point of view, Dr. Dabral, we often prescribe muscle relaxants for so many patients who suffer from these acute bouts of anxiety, or persons who are, you know, suffering from this increased tension, muscle tension. And so many of the disease of the body stems from this disease of the mind. And I often speak to patients in the consultation room of this word disease. If we are to break up this word into two parts, it is disease. And whether we want to focus on what is causing the disease or not, yoga and meditation has for centuries and millennia been a tool to move from disease to a state of ease. Now, as we come to nearing the end of the program, I leave this up to you now to really share with us any pearls that you think is very important. How would you, if you had 5 minutes to leave an impacting message based on your experience, based on all the research that has taken place on yoga and meditation, what would you leave to the listening audience over the next 5 minutes in terms of yoga, meditation, or practice recommendations? If in fact, as a doctor of yoga, what would you prescribe to the listening public?
Yoga science is vast science, and there are many, many, many components. Just like you said, you know, there's a muscle tension, relaxation, and so on. However, with this modern lifestyle, busy schedule, and so on and so forth, you can't undertake a long practice of yoga, and then one gets disinterested and no more enthusiastic about the yoga. It takes too much time. I don't have time. I can't meditate. My mind doesn't allow me to meditate, and so on and so forth. There are always excuses, and those excuses are actually valid because you experience them. So that's why I have come to know, and I tell people, don't change anything. Let it be your life. But only thing you want to bring is learn correct way of breathing and learn correct way of sitting. We have 8-9 hours in the office, and we are not sitting properly. And that means that which what it means, not sitting properly, means people are not sitting straight with your spine. So if you learn how to keep your spine straight and relaxed spine and breathing diaphragmatically, that is the answer for almost 40 to 50% problems, actually. All problems, mental problems and physical problems. You will see that you are not tired. You yourself would know when you are so sleepy and being very tired. What do? You just get up and your body tells you to stretch. So what you are stretching? You stretch your spine, and you lift your hands into the up sky, and then you stretch. and then you feel better. Why? Because the spinal column is the source for the energy field that is running from your head to toes and toes to head. That energy field is known as the mental faculty mind. So two things, if you can incorporate, only two things, always sit straight and keep your spine relaxed and watch your breath as frequent as possible and breathe from diaphragm. You will be happy. You will do a great favor.
Wonderful. So folks, there you have it from Dr. Dabral. And what we can all apply, and from all the evidence there in improving our health and our well-being and bringing about this state of peace and ease in our body, breath, and mind, where we focus on this calming, relaxing breath and maintaining our posture. Now, Dr. Dabral, any wishes here in your journey and your visit to Trinidad? What are you looking forward to here in beautiful Trinidad and Tobago?
First of all, I must thank you for giving me an opportunity and all the listeners. My sincere advice, I wish I could teach you. Nevertheless, sincere advice is just learn proper way of breathing and remain, you know, sitting wherever you are sitting, even driving, desk and all that. Keep your spine straight, and that will be a great favor. That is my joy. When I tell somebody, and if they do that, it gives me an immense pleasure, because I like to see everybody healthy. And that's the mandate my teacher has given to me, and that's why I travel around the world. Trinidad, I came here 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago. I fell in love with Trinidad, people, food, everything. I'm here to have some programs, and if you can have an access, you can come and listen to the programs, maybe a part of it if you can, however much time you have. So we have retreats and we have lectures and so on, and it's thrilling being in Trinidad with this nice weather, nice people, nice food. It's a paradise, and this paradise would become absolutely 24 hours paradise if you breathe properly and sit straight. I'm telling you, thank you so much. I am very happy to share, and I only can share a little bit in a half hour, but if you come to my program, you will learn more. Thank you, and thank you all listeners. Namaste.
There you have it, folks. Dr. Dabral, all the way from Canada, North America, here in Trinidad and Tobago, sharing these pearls. And you know, here in Trinidad and Tobago, we have to start looking at health with some different lens and different perspectives. For too long, we've been treating just symptoms. We've been treating just the physical outcomes of the illnesses and diseases that we face. And so many of us are out there seeking, looking, searching, and yearning for that system, that way of improving our health. That isn't just a quick fix of symptoms, isn't just an anti-inflammatory injection, an anti-inflammatory pill, and these quick pills to fix the symptoms where they can become recurrent and keep recurring. And, you know, especially when we think of the term lifestyle disease, Trinidad and Tobago, we have to treat the lifestyle. And if the lifestyle is causing the disease, we must be honest and truthful that some of the lifestyle, we have to hold ourselves accountable. We always say it shouldn't be anything of being a fanatic or fad or anything like that, but moderation is the key. And if we have lost that moderation as a population, as a culture, as a people, then we are moving ourselves from that state of ease to that state of disease. And like Dr. Dabral said, he totally enjoys Trinidad and Tobago, and he thinks of here as a paradise. And we must also look at our health as our most valuable asset, because without our health, we cannot do all the wonderful things that we can do, our duties, perform all these great noble actions, and go out there, have interactions with our social connections, have wonderful friendships, relationships out there. And, you know, it's such a joy today to listen to this tradition and this practice of yoga and meditation. And it's my intention, as these programs continue each and every Wednesday, to bring to you all these, you know, different perspectives in Eastern traditions and traditional medicines, and not just that, but incorporate it with Western medicine. So this is Dr. Vasan Basdeo, your friendly family doctor, wishing everyone a healthy and fantastic Wednesday. It's been my pleasure here on the Lunchtime Doctor. I'll be joining you all again next week, but this time I'll be in Tobago. Have a great week ahead, everyone. All the best.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.